We thank you for your blessing, the blessing in every area of our lives. And Father, we ask that tonight the word of God be clear to us and that you help us by your Spirit to understand it and have to have a heart that is receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to look at an area which you might say, well, I know all about this. You may think you know. And you know, there's some people that think they know, they do know about it. But I want it to be very clear to us in this church. You know, the fact is that it does require finances to operate a church, to reach out to a city. And it requires the people of God to be obedient to him. Have a look at 3 John 2, first of all. This is a scripture that we have looked at many times, and I want us to look at it again with fresh eyes and to see what is the will of God for his people. You see, he wants to use his people. He wants to use his people greatly. And the only way he can use his people greatly is if they are obedient to him, and if they are receptive to him. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Master. And he is the one that gives us the direction that we should take. Praise God. There's a lot I could talk about in this area, but I'm going to lay down just a brief introduction into the area, because it's something that we have to take hold of and understand that this is God's will. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You see, prosperity is not a made-up doctrine. Prosperity is a godly doctrine. God wants his people to prosper, and that is in every area, physically and spiritually. He's not, you know, if you were to examine what the Bible says about poverty, you'll see that it's under the curse. It's not a blessed thing. In fact, the Bible says the destruction of the poor is there. Poverty. So poverty, as far as God is concerned, is part of destruction. It's part of the curse. So we have to see this in the right way. God is not about bringing his people down into desolation and destruction. What he's about is to lead his people in the way they should go, so that then they can prosper. Because prosperity is not something that comes about randomly. It doesn't just plop onto people. You have to, as in all things in God, you have to walk by faith in it. I remember when I first was born again over 30 years ago, I latched on very quickly to the doctrine of healing. Very, very quickly to that. And I was able to walk in healing, and I could go through several testimonies of what the Lord did for me. But I found it much, much more difficult because of things like materialism and so on. I found it much, much more difficult to latch on to the doctrine of prosperity and also what we're talking about tonight. But I will tell you now that when I did finally latch on to it and say, well, I'm going to do this, then the Lord was able to bless me and open up and do all types of things in my life. So let's move on from this. Let's look at Genesis 14. I want us to see, first of all, what tithing is, and secondly, that it's not just under the law. Some people try to say, well, that's under the Mosaic law. In fact, it's before the Mosaic law, it's also during the Mosaic law, and it's also in the New Testament as well. So it's a doctrine to cover all of God's people right across history. And if you look at Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20, we see a very interesting event that happened in Abram's life. And of course, we are the children of Abraham, so by faith we are of his spiritual seed. That's why the church is spiritual Israel, because we have spiritual descendancy from Abraham. And the Bible says that the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. Think about that, in all things. Spirit, soul, body, physically, everything. So the Lord blesses people. And remember, Abraham walked by faith. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, so he was king of a city which was the forerunner to Jerusalem. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. So he was a king and a priest. And he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't go into detail about that, but Melchizedek was a type or a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a king and a priest, and so you can see he brought forth bread and wine, which, if you think about it, is similar to what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. And if you think about what that means, the celebration of the Lord's Supper is a celebration of covenant. Covenant, the firm bonding agreement that we have with God himself. And of course, Melchizedek, as the priest of the Lord God here, is coming to Abram, and at that time Abram had Lot had been kidnapped. Abram went and rescued him. We won't go into detail about that. But after that, Abram clearly wanted to show that he was in covenant with God. And so he was the priest of the Most High God. Talk about Melchizedek. Verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. So you can see that Abram gave tithes of all. And we'll talk more about tithes as we go on, but the word tithe just means one-tenth, one-tenth of all. And so what we see right here, prior to the Mosaic Covenant, is the covenant that Abram had with God, and it was a covenant of faith, and he was tithing to a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the type of Melchizedek there. Now go over to Hebrews 7. And just remember, you know, when you come to the Word of God, we all have a decision to make. We can decide to put it into action in our life. And as I said before, I put this into action in my life many years ago, after rebelling against the Lord for many years. And I must say that when I was rebelling against the Lord for many years, I was in terrible poverty. Okay, it was terrible. I can't go into detail about it now, but I know the difference between before and after putting things into action in my life. So Hebrews 7, interestingly enough, refers to Melchizedek again. And let's look at Hebrews 7 verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 7 verses 1 and 2. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now we saw in Genesis 14 the word tithe, and so we can see very clearly that tithe means tenth part. Can everyone see that? So the Bible defines itself here. So Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So we see that Melchizedek was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to get hold of that, because remember, when we tithe, and we'll go into offerings a little bit as well, when we tithe and do offerings, we're not giving it just to men in a church or in a ministry. We're giving it to the Lord himself. Okay, we're doing it as unto the Lord, and it's a faith thing, just like Abraham was doing as well. It's a faith thing. And we'll see a bit later that God sees the tithe as his. And what the tithe does in a practical sense is the tithe sets the scene so that when you sow over and above the tithe, your crop can grow and produce. And we'll see what that means later. So we see that Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Let's also go to verses 8 to 11 of Hebrews chapter 7. Verses 8 to 11. And here, men that die receive tithes. So on the earth, men that die, ministers of God, receive tithes. So he's talking about the New Testament here. But there, that is in heaven, there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Who's that talking about? Talking about Christ, isn't it? Now, Christ was raised from the dead, and this is talking about New Testament times, saying that men that die receive tithes here, but whilst we're receiving tithes here, who is receiving them in heaven? Christ himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is receiving them in heaven. You've got to get hold of this, because otherwise you'll be like some people who are just thinking, it's like a great burden, tithing and offering, it's like a great burden. It's not at all. It's a release, and it's a part of worship to the Lord God. It's saying, Lord, I honour you in my life in this area. And look also at verses 9, we'll continue on down to verse 11. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? So we see that there is a lineage right through, obviously, Melchizedek, and at that time Abraham was paying tithes. We see the Levitical priesthood, they were paying tithes, and we see now we pay tithes to the Lord Jesus Christ through men that die, that is, people on the earth receiving tithes here. So I want you to see that if someone came to you, and this is an argument some people bring, and said, oh, it's just an Old Testament doctrine, or it's just for the Mosaic law, and we're not under the law, that is an excuse not to take hold of the doctrine and not to come into this fully. What we have to see is that it is something that the Lord has put into place for the prosperity of his people and for the furtherance of his kingdom. Okay, we'll see that as we go along. Have a look at Leviticus 27 verse 30. Leviticus 27 verse 30. Now, the fact is that if you're not convinced of this in your heart, of the truth of it, then don't do it. Okay? You must be convinced of the truth of the Word of God and of the doctrine, because it's important for us to do it out of our heart, not out of compulsion, but out of our heart, and say, well, yes, I see what this is all about. And as we go on, you'll understand more. So we've defined what the tithe is. We've defined that it's not just for the Mosaic law, but it's right across the history of God's people into the New Testament as well. And Leviticus 27 verse 30 tells us clearly about the way the Lord sees the tithe. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30. Of course, this is not a popular sermon topic, as you may be aware. Nevertheless, it is a very important topic, and that's why we're presenting it, because I want us all to be on the same page in this church. I also want people that come in to be able to hear this sermon and other sermons related to it. So, Leviticus 27 verse 30, and there's other scriptures we could bring out, but this is a scripture that brings out a particular thing we want to talk about with respect to the tithe. Verse 30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now the fact is, and there's a lot of proof, that the tithe, 10%, is the Lord's. Okay? There's also a lot of people in a lot of churches that don't want to recognise this. That's fine for them, but you've got to realise that by taking hold of that, you're also taking hold of something that's not right. Because what we do see that is right is that as far as God is concerned, the tithe is the Lord's, not yours. It is holy unto the Lord. I mean, everything you have comes from God, but all God is asking for is 10%. And I know it's not popular in today's society. In fact, today's society, as we know, is a very selfish society. But nevertheless, it is something that I believe is something that when we do in obedience, we're saying, Lord, I honour you in my life. And this is one way to do it. This actually opens up, as we'll see in a minute, it opens up great things in our life. So the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Holy means separated, separated unto the Lord, put for the Lord's use. Very, very important for us to see that. Now let's look at Malachi chapter 3. Notice I didn't turn to that straight away because I wanted to set the scene before we went into Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3 is often quoted, but if you don't have the background to what I was talking about, you can say, well, that's just for the children of Israel, or that's just for the Old Testament times, or that's just for Moses' time. But remember what we've read. We've put down very clearly that it's before the law, it's during the Levitical priesthood, and it's also in the New Testament. There's other scriptures we could bring out in the New Testament related to this. But we'll continue on because I want to cover this in Malachi chapter 3, starting from verse 8. Now, this is an interesting passage of scripture because it opens up the purpose of the tithe, okay? The purpose of it. And you should be very excited about it. If you're a tither, this is something to be really excited about. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? But ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now, the question, why would God say, will a man rob God, but yet ye have robbed me? Well, we just read in Leviticus 27 verse 30, the tithe is the Lord's. It's holy unto God. And as far as God is concerned, and as I said, there's many, even many Christians that don't acknowledge this is a biblical doctrine. We do here. We do. That's why I'm preaching about it, and that's why I'm bringing out the scriptures. And because of that, there comes an entrance of the curse into people's lives. It's like anything with not taking the word of God for what it says. People can explain all types of things away. You know, people can say, well, I was offended at church, so therefore I'm not going to go to church anymore. They're full of hypocrites. You know, people love justifying things. But what they should be doing is bowing the knee before God and saying, Lord, I want to go your way, you know, regardless of what men may or may not have done. You know, we shouldn't be after the accolades of men anyway. If I was after the accolades of men, I would have given up long ago because I haven't had many accolades at all. And I don't want any, by the way. What I'm saying is that I want the Lord to be glorified in this church constantly. Okay? So, looking back here, verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So here we have a whole nation, the nation of Israel, had turned away from God in this doctrine. But what does God say? Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So where does he say to bring the tithes into? The storehouse. that there may be meat in mine house. Where is God's house now? What's God's house? The church is God's house. There's many scriptures that talk about that. And notice it says that there may be meat in mine house. Well, what's the meat today? That's the word of God, isn't it? The meat of the word of God. You might say, well, you know, there's some people that, you know, they don't believe in tithing, they don't believe in offerings, or if they do, it's in a grudging or compulsory way instead of a faith way. And you'll notice there's not much meat in those type of churches. But what we have to do is say, well, I want to make sure there's meat in the house of God. And I know that I'm not going to be robbing God, and I'm not going to be cursed with a curse. And notice what it says here, God will open up the windows of heaven. Now, this is important to understand. Opening up of the windows of heaven to pour out blessing. Pour out blessing. So what's the opposite of the windows of heaven being opened? The windows of heaven being shut. Can you see that? It's the opposite. So if the windows of heaven are shut, then the blessing isn't being poured out, and specifically isn't being poured out in this area of having meat in your house, of having a blessing that there be not room enough to receive it, and that's blessing in the prosperity area. And prosperity, as I said, covers not just the spiritual, but the physical as well. We said that right at the very beginning. Notice what also tithing will do in verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, so if you were to plant a crop, what do you want to make sure is happening with that crop? Well, you want rain to come on the crop, don't you? You want it to be watered. You also want to make sure that all types of pests and insects and devourers aren't going to come and destroy your crop. So what tithing does, tithing is not sowing. You've got to understand this. Tithing is not sowing. Tithing is setting the scene for sowing. Tithing opens up the windows of heaven. In other words, allows the rain in the spiritual to come down, and will also cause the devourer to be rebuked, so that the devourer can't stop your crop which you plant in the Lord. I hope you can see this, because tithing is not sowing. Offering over and above the tithing is sowing. And I want you to see this, because he says very clearly what the tithes are doing here in verses 10 and 11. And he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Glory to God. Look also at verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. So people will see, hey, that person, or that nation, or that group of people, or that church is blessed, and they're delightsome, and they're all on the same page, and they know what they're doing. Praise God. And we want to see in Victory Faith Centre that everyone, as I said before, right at the beginning of the service, that everyone is flowing along in the same beliefs, as the Bible says, same mind, same judgment, same word. And what we know is that in the past, you know, there've been people that have sat here and they've gone for years sitting here, and they couldn't even get water baptized. You know, that's not right. That's not right. What we want is for people to come here and to say, well, I agree with the word, I've had the word, and I want to go forward in the word of God. Glory to God. Now let's have a look a little bit about sowing now. So is everyone clear about tithing? Tithing sets the scene, so to speak, so that when you do get into sowing, then you can have a crop that is going to be watered and is going to be protected from the devourer. Okay, very important for you to see. There's many scriptures we could go in, but I just want to cover a few. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 11. 2 Corinthians 9. 6 to 11. As I said, right at the beginning of my Christian walk, I didn't latch on to this, and because of that, I found that there was a lot of the curse in my life in this particular area especially. And it wasn't until much later that I really took hold of it and got obedient with the Lord and did what he wanted me to do. Praise God for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, start from verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Now, you may have heard us quote this many times before, but I want you to see that this is talking about sowing now, sowing over and above the tithing. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Okay, so what's happening here? Do you notice he's not talking about tithing? Because he's saying you can decide how much you give here, how much you're going to sow. This is not talking about tithing. This is talking about sowing. So you can decide, okay, well, I have tithed, so therefore I've got the spiritual rain of blessing coming down. I've got the devour rebuked, praise God. And now I can determine, God is allowing you to determine or purpose in your heart how much you're going to give. And he talks about reaping, he talks about sowing. Sowing sparingly, reaping sparingly, sowing bountifully, reaping bountifully. Now I know it, personally in my life I do a lot more sowing than I used to. Okay? And also there's a lot more reaping happening than it used to as well. But then, as I said to you, I came to the conclusion that I had to tithe, and I did. And that was, it's over around about 15 years ago now. And I haven't stopped doing that and just gone forward in the Lord in that. Coming into this blessing of sowing and reaping, we see we have to purpose in our heart, all right, this is what I'm going to... But we should ask the Lord about this, praise God. We should ask the Lord and seek him. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to sow and so on? Because it's more than just sowing money now. It's sowing things and time and effort and so on, all of this type of thing. You can actually sow things into people's lives, okay? You can give them things and so on. Well, you don't want the devourer coming along and devouring what you're doing, do you? No, you don't want that. You want the blessing of God in your life, and you want the devourer stopped. So notice what it says, verse 7, we'll read again. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay? God loveth a cheerful giver. So whatever you do, do not give grudgingly, do not give out of necessity. Give because you want to be obedient to the Lord and you know this is the right thing to do. And it comes out of a cheerful heart, it comes out of the joy of the Lord, it comes out of faith, okay? Faith. And so that's what I would emphasise, is that if you're not convinced of it, then don't do it. But if you are convinced and you see it in the Word, then make sure that you do it. It's very, very important that as we have things revealed to us, we don't just hold back, but we actually go forward in the Lord. So verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, you can see there that word all is used a few times in this verse. All grace abound toward you, and that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things. Notice that. All sufficiency in all things. All sufficiency in all things. You know, the scripture back in Haggai, it talks about the people not looking after the house of God And it was like they had holes in their pockets. There was a leakage in their life. There was a devouring in their life. And if you read in the book of Haggai, you'll see, and I encourage you to read it, you'll see that when they said, I'm going to put God's work and God's house in order, that their prosperity was reversed. They came out of that problem area where they didn't have all sufficiency in all things. So let me just read verse 8 again. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Every good work. Notice that. And verse 9 says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, well, who's giving you seed to sow? Have to be God, isn't it? God gives you seed to sow. If you don't have seed to sow, you ask God for that seed to sow. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, that's what he provides for you, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So what's God doing with your sowing? He's ministering seed to you. If you say, I'm going to be a sower, I'm going to be a giver, and he ministers bread for your food, he supplies your daily needs, and he multiplies your seed sown, so there's going to be a reaping, a harvest, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11, being enriched in everything. It's not just spiritual things, is it? In everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Now this is the will of God for his people, that his people increase. Okay, remember what we read right at the very beginning. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now your soul, which is part of your inner man, will prosper as you take the word. You can take the word tonight and you allow that to go into your inner man ears and you hear it. And what happens? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then you operate in faith. You see, if you're trying to operate in this, as some people have tried to do, in grudging or necessity, not faith, then it doesn't work. But if you say, Lord, I love you and I have received and heard that and I want to go your way, I don't want to justify sin, I don't want to justify rebellion, I just want to go and do what you want to do, and by faith you start to operate in this. And let me tell you that it wasn't until I started operating in faith in this that it started to work in my life. And it works in our life as we put it into operation by faith. So there's a couple more scriptures I want to go through. Have a look at Proverbs 11, 23 to 25. So we're still on offerings now. We've talked about tithes tonight. We're now talking about offerings. And I want you to understand the doctrine of tithes and offerings is the tithe itself is not sowing. Okay? The tithe itself is setting the scene so that the seed that you sow can work in the ground that you sow it in. Praise the Lord. So we're looking at Proverbs 11, verses 23-25. Proverbs 11, 23-25. Now what's our desire? Desire, as it says here, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Notice what it says in verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. What's that saying? If you scatter like that sower, and relate it back to what we read in 2 Corinthians 9, if you scatter your seed out, what's it doing? It's enabling you to then get a crop. And as it says there, and yet increaseth. So here you're giving out, you're scattering out your seed, but you're not neglecting the crop, are you? See, a farmer doesn't sow and then neglect the crop. He expects there to be a crop. And we should, by faith, expect that there will be a harvest. Praise the Lord. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. You know, a lot of people are operating in the ways of the world and thinking, oh, the church is only out for your money. Now, I've told you, if it doesn't come from the heart, don't give it. If you don't want to do this, don't do it. But if you want to do what God has revealed in his word, then do it, because that's what's going to bring the blessing. But, you know, there's many people, they don't understand why they're tending towards poverty, because there's a spiritual reason attached to what they're doing. They're holding back things from the Lord and holding back what they should be doing and so on. I want to finish with Luke 6, verse 38, still talking about offerings. This is the will of God for his people. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6:38. We'll read this out. Notice what it says here. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, the same measure that you're giving out, withal, it shall be measured to you again. And that's related to, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Now, I pray that this goes into your heart, not just in one ear and that's it, it goes out the other, or you forget about it. I pray that you take it and you think about what this is all about. And so that when you start to operate in this spiritually, things will really change for you. And this is something which I wanted to lay down for the church. And if you read the church doctrinal statement, which we've got a copy of out the front, it's got right from the beginning of the church. It was that tithes and offerings were is for the people of God to be doing. So it's nothing new in Victory Faith Centre. We've talked a lot about it over the years, and we'll continue to talk about it. And it's just something that's a foundational thing for people to understand. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us and you're leading us more and more into the way we should go. And Father, I pray that every person here be abundantly blessed as we take hold of your word, as we go forward in this area, and that you speak to our hearts, Lord, and that we would understand the truth of what you've said in your word. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Praise God. Amen.